This is UnGag's own Natalia Urban speaking on her own opinions at the Radical Independence Campaign conference on Saturday, the 26th of October. This is To The Main Room.
Suffering right now, and most of the suffering that is been going on in Latin America. There are actually more than one person to blame, more than one country to blame. Since I started to research about the influence of the United States in Latin America, which is obvious, I got interested to discover more about the influence of the British government in Brazil, more specifically, the Tories in Brazil. And I was surprised to discover that there was a lot they were doing there. For starters, they have a propaganda agency where they sell Margaret Thatcher as a neoliberal hero that saved Britain from socialism. Where she's glorified, her image is used by the British government to make the countries that privatize their companies to almost for nothing to give to Britain. We have also, most recently with Bolsonaro, the most strange thing was when Bolsonaro was no one, when he was just an obscure deputy that was known for going to gossipies like Jeremy Kyle style TV shows. He was approached by the British embassy. They lobbied his campaign in Brazil because they knew they could gain something of it. And now, after he gained power, it was clear that they are gaining something. Most recently, Ricardo Salles, the Minister of the Environment in Brazil, the man responsible for the inaction of the government in the Amazon, in the mining disasters, and most recently, the oil disasters in the Brazilian beaches, he was invited for a secret meeting in London. The meeting was arranged by Teresa Villiers, and in the meeting, he had the presence of British companies that were pharmaceuticals, mining companies, financial companies, and none of what was discussed in the media was had access to the access to the media. More probably because they are selling Brazil out for the United Kingdom. Not for the country, of course, but for the corporations. The United Kingdom is also willing to sell Scottish farmers out to gain access to cheap, full of pesticides products that are being growing in Brazil right now. The same products that are poisoning the land, the water, and killing the indigenous populations. We have a massive problem in our hands in Brazil. And whenever people say, but you voted for it, I get angry, I get frustrated because we did not vote for it. It's pretty much like you have with Brexit here. And the most thing, what I can say is, we have a problem in Brazil, but you have blood on your hands. You have the blood of my people on your hands here. What you are doing in Brazil with companies like BHP, BP, Shell is killing people there. BHP poisoned a whole area in the state of Minas Gerais after the tragedy of Mariana. They were not held accountable in Brazilian courts, but they are being sued here by British courts because the corrupt judicial system there would never make anyone pay for destroying the environment. And whenever people, I get frustrated whenever people ignore me or have a very colonialist mindset to speak about Amazon, saying, well, we destroy our forests. And we are rich and you are poor, so you have to have money, of course, so you are selling your forest out. We are not selling out because you are stealing our forest. When I say you, of course, I'm telling you. You are stealing our forest. You are stealing our water. You are stealing our lands. You are stealing our lives in Brazil. And no one is doing anything about it. We are, because we are treated like second-class citizens. The Global South, does not receive the attention that we have. So if we are serious in fighting against global warming and to make the environment better for the whole world, a dialogue needs to start. And I believe that an independent Scotland has to be the country that will start that dialogue. Thank you, everybody, for having me here today. Ele não e Lula livre.
This is the Scottish Green Party MSP, Ross Greer. Here he is speaking to the Radical Independence Campaign Conference on Saturday, the 26th of October.
Next we have Ross Greer. Ross is an MSP with the Scottish Green Party and he's been widely involved in a lot of campaigns, including Yes Scotland.
Thanks, friends. It's useful to look back on where we were before looking at where we actually want to go. We're 5 years on from what was the most far-reaching mass movement in modern Scottish history. The Yes campaign that started in 2000 wasn't a movement. At the start of that campaign, the only organised capacity for the campaign was the SNP, and I say that as someone who, even at that point, was a member of another party, but the Greens had about 900 people in it at that point. But in that 2.5 year campaign, we built a mass movement. We built a movement in every single community in Scotland. I was the communities coordinator for Yes Scotland. I had the immense pleasure of visiting, not all of them, because we ended up over 400, but certainly a lot of our local groups. And that movement that we built together, it was massively ideologically diverse. Despite the resistance, the real resistance of a number of people in the SNP leadership, it was ideologically diverse, and that was a strength of the movement. That diversity of vision was a strength that drove us on to build the movement further, to gain more support for independence. But what's happened in that intervening period? Well, Yes Scotland folded. Our contracts all ran out at midnight the day after. It was quite clear to us that Yes Scotland was over. The SNP and the Greens became the only consistent structures left for mass activism, and there are no shortage of elections for both parties to be fighting, as well as another notable referendum. But party structures are both an outlet for activism and a restriction on it. They're not the same as movement activism. And frankly, I think the SNP suffocated a lot of the radicalism of the Yes movement. I think they did it deliberately because it didn't suit their electoral interests. Now, organisations like Women for Independence still exist and do fantastic work. Local Yes groups seem to be growing again, which is great news. I'm being invited to Yes groups across the country, which is really, really exciting to see. I think we need an honest reflection of what grew the Yes movement in the past and what's now required to grow it to something that can win. Yes grew from hope and from anger. We have a righteous anger at the British state, at what it had done to people in Scotland and what it had done and continues to do to people across the world. But we had hope. Hope not just that we could defeat that British state, but that we could put something better in its place. We had a genuine hope for transformation. Independence for us was not simply about moving power from London to Edinburgh. It was about transformation in our society. And frankly, in the 5 years since then, I think we're in the wrong place. I think there's too much anger and too little hope. There's certainly insecurity from some SNP-aligned Yes supporters, from some SNP politicians, that has seen them lash out at pro-independence figures who happen to be critics of the SNP, many of whom are speaking here today. And that, my friends, is why the Radical Independence Campaign is so important. Our goal isn't to show union supporters that we're better than them. It's to persuade them to join us so that we can win the next referendum. I'm not here to be part of a club. I don't wear my yes badge to lord over other people. I want to grow our movement into a winning force. I'm here to win independence. We are all here to win independence. And there's a danger that I think that the yes movement and yes voters are becoming more misaligned. So, for example, we're all aware of the fact that around a third of supporters of the Labour Party are also supporters for independence. But take a moment and think, what do you see out there coming from other folk in the Yes movement? Do you see more positive messages about why Labour voters should vote for independence, welcoming those that do? Or do you see more messages criticising Labour voters because of the party they support? In the era of Jeremy Corbyn, that is a question that we really need to grapple with. I welcome Labour supporters who vote for independence. And don't get me wrong, I'm a member of another political party. I want to see the end of the Scottish Labour Party. I don't think it's a force for progress. And at the rate of their current decline, I think the Greens probably will beat them at the next Scottish election. But I don't think we can let legitimate issues with the Labour Party become a stick to beat Labour voters with. Labour voters are key to winning the independence movement, and we should welcome them with open arms into our movement. One of the starkest illustrations, I think, of the potential misalignment between our movement and our voters is with young people, especially with young women. Around 3/4 of young people support Scottish independence. But from my experience, less than 1 in 4 yes activists that I meet are young people. I go to yes groups across the country and I see thousands of incredibly dedicated people doing brilliant work. But we need to ask ourselves, why are the group of people in our society the most likely to vote for independence not nearly as involved in the organised yes movement as other groups are? We need to ask how we can rebuild a movement that is capable of winning. How do we build a movement that more 2014 no voters will want to be part of? And to do that, we need to start with hope, with an inspiring vision. And that is not contained in the SNP's Growth Commission. In August, the Scottish Greens, the Green Party, we launched our own Scottish Green New Deal, and the most obvious reason was to play our part in tackling the climate breakdown that the world's currently experiencing. But the first round of what we proposed was things that can be done already, can be done under devolution, that demonstrate our ability that when we're capable of governing ourselves, that we can do it well. The Green New Deal campaign is also about addressing what was a key weakness in 2014. And regardless of what any of us think about the strengths or weaknesses of the economic arguments for independence, it's quite clear that not enough voters were convinced of the economic strengths. And we need to address that. And I think the Green New Deal, like what the Green Party is coming out with, I'm really excited to see what Common Weal come out with, that is a way of addressing it. Because the climate emergency means that economic transformation is an absolute necessity. But that necessity is also a colossal opportunity. We can ditch capitalism because we must. We can replace it with a socialism of the 21st century, and we can do it here in Scotland. Britain's meant decline, deindustrialisation and austerity for people in our country. Independence can mean the opposite. It doesn't automatically mean the opposite, but it can and it will if we fight for it. We can build a movement for independence on the promise of a new industrial revolution, on the promise of hundreds of thousands of quality, lasting jobs in the industries of the future, on the promise of a society not designed for those who can afford to drive everywhere, but where public transport is available, accessible and free to all, on the promise of putting economic power into the hands of communities, rather than moving from one monopoly of fossil fuel giants to another economic elite based around renewables. But while the UK has some of the most aggressive anti-worker legislation in Europe, an independent Scotland can lead this continent, not in some meek notion of industrial relations, but in a transformation to an economy that is worker-led, that is community-led, that is people-led. And with that kind of positive, transformational vision, we can mobilise our movement within the trade union movement. In 2014, there were some tremendous efforts to organise the Yes movement within the unions, but it was never part of the official Yes strategy. And to be honest, Yes Scotland barely had an official strategy. And beyond the failed neoliberalism of the Growth Commission, we can mobilise the hundreds of thousands of trade unionists who support independence. And the Yes movement can in turn grow the trade union movement. If our vision of independence is a people Scotland, we can start building it now. If you want a more just and equal Scotland, campaign for independence and join a union. Build people power. The Yes movement doesn't exist in isolation. We should be an outlet for the climate movement, for the school strikers, for the workers' movement, for refugee solidarity and the anti-war movement, for Kurdish solidarity and Palestinian solidarity. To win over most of Scotland, we need to be a movement of movements. If we are, if we can achieve that, together we will win. Thank you.
This is UNGAG's own Natalia Urban, this time speaking as a member of Resist Brazil. This is at the Radical Independence Campaign Conference held on Saturday the 26th of October. This from a breakout forum titled Scotland's for Peace, a New World Disorder.
If there is one government in the world which embodies the potential for moving towards some sort of contemporary fascism, it's perhaps what we are seeing in Brazil with Bolsonaro. Environmentalism, women's rights, gay rights, all these different aspects, we can see that there has been a severe curtailment in terms of what is happening in Brazil. So I'm delighted to welcome our next speaker, who is involved with the resistance to Bolsonaro, Natalia Urban.
Good morning. I know many of you are expecting me to come here and talk about the environmental destruction, the deaths, and all the democratic losses Brazilians are suffering right now. But I'm going to talk today about how the Tories' collusion with the far right in Brazil is making all of it happen. Since 2016, the British government has been very incisive in showing how much they care about Brazil. During a meeting at the British Chamber of Commerce, then British Ambassador Alex said Brazil would be one of the UK's post-Brexit main trading partners, that the government was interested in investing in several areas and said, Brazil is one of the countries we are most interested in training our trading time. I hope in the next 10 years we can increase our relations in areas like mining, technology and of course agribusiness. At the event, the ambassador recalled that in the agricultural area, that United Kingdom has also producers in Scotland and Northern Ireland. And he said, and I quote, "And we do not know how they will react to a possible policy of lower protectionism. So they will throw Scottish farms under the bus with Brexit." Which what you know. In November 2016, it was announced that Alex, the ambassador, would become Director General at the Department for Exiting the European Union. Investments in Brazil will remain heavy, according to the current ambassador, Vijay Hangarajan. The UK government will invest around £80 million in Brazil by 2023. Among the main focuses of investment attention is the energy sector, which alone will receive £25 million and which is currently where British companies are the strongest in Brazil. The largest biofuel plant in Brazil is owned by BP. Shell also has a joint venture with Raízen in biofuels. For those who don't know, biofuel is made primarily from sugar cane. And the sugar and alcohol sector in the area in Brazil is the agricultural area who has the most reports of slavery and working accidents. Still talking about oil, leaked documents showed that Greg Hands was caught lobbying for tax breaks on behalf of Shell and BP from the post-coup Temer government. Hands would also represent British companies at three largest showcase events on energy, mining and privatization of water in Brazil. Liam Fox also jet off to meet the new government soon after Dilma Rousseff's unfair removal, which makes me assume that the UK government was happy to see the Workers' Party gone. A brand new consulate was opened in Belo Horizonte, capital of the state of Minas Gerais, where Brazilian mining operations are historically located, and most recently caught the eyes of the world after Mariana and Brumadinho disasters, which because of the negligence, hundreds of workers died, and after both mining companies then collapsed and destroyed the region's environment. In 2018, Lee Struss contacted the Instituto Millennium. The Instituto Millennium is affiliated to libertarian Adam Smith Institute, which is an instrument of the UK government's soft power coup, according to the Foreigners' Commonwealth Office's own internal documents. Margaret Thatcher, or at least the twisted version of Margaret Thatcher, saved Britain from socialist disaster, is used as a propaganda tool to popularize extreme economic liberalism in Brazil and elsewhere in Latin America. Both Adam Smith and Millennium belong to the Libertarian Atlas Network, whose core members are the source of dark money, bankrolling, systematic political interference all across Latin America. Truth met with those organizations on her September 2018 trip to Washington, having previously written on Latin America capitalists showing the way to the world. The British obscure influence is putting Brazil on a difficult situation with our neighbor Argentina because of the Malvinas. You probably know under the colonialist name Falkland. Since the coup that removed Dilma from power, the UK government is using Brazil to maintain their domination over the island, allowing Royal Air Force planes to use Brazil to make flight connections, something that, by the Brazilian constitution, is forbidden. And now with Bolsonaro, it's even worse. The UK embassy has been promoted the island constantly and signing cooperation deals between Malvinas and Brazil. Historically, Brazil recognized since the mid-19th century the Argentina sovereignty in the Malvinas. It's hardly a surprise to know the Tories do not have any shame to align themselves with the Brazilian fascists. They are shaking hands with people who are putting into action plans the mass extermination of indigenous, of black communities, destroying the environment and keeping Lula, Brazil's biggest popular leader, as a political prisoner. Many say that the British government has a desire to reinstall the glory of the empire. And it's with a great deal, I don't feel heartache to say that. I feel angry to say that they are doing this time at the expense of the blood of my people. I believe and I support the Scottish independence. And I sincerely hope that together we can build an independent Scotland that will lead the beginning of an anti-neocolonial revolution among the global north. Thank you.